All right, welcome back to another week of the Brocast, the Brocast recruiting, I should say, alongside Chase McDaniel of Bruin Report Online. I'm Brandon Huffman of Rivals.com, and it was a busy weekend in Westwood, double-digit official visitors. UCLA held their prospect camp on Sunday. Surprise visitors showed up. Surprises from their visitors, i.e. with potential official visits elsewhere by some commits. A key visitor for a player who's committed to a Big Ten school for over a year. All kinds of stuff going on. Tracy, how was your weekend first up on the parking garage on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, it was very busy, it was just interesting to, one, see how they organized this year's camp compared to the previous staffs. And then, you know, it being an official visit weekend, you know, I'm standing there in the stairwell and I see people like, you know, Lucas Roa walk right by me, Jackson Rex, and, you know, they're just barely ending their official visits and they've got smiles on their faces with their families. Lucas, we've got an update on. Jackson, I'm still waiting to hear back from. But, yeah, and then, you know, even seeing someone like Brady Edmonds being torn around in a golf cart while I'm there. So, yeah, it was a very eye-opening weekend as far as just, you know, general observations and that sort of thing. So definitely a lot more busy than the typical weekend.
I want to touch on the Brady Edmonds recruitment. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts there. He is probably the most intriguing recruit that UCLA is still in play with, even though he's committed to Ohio State. He's been committed there since December of 2024. It was so long ago that Chip Kelly was still the offensive coordinator for the Buckeyes. And interestingly enough, you know, he got his first offer from UCLA's, or sorry, he was the first 2027 quarterback that UCLA offered back when Deshaun Foster was, it might have even been when Chip Kelly was coaching, but I know he was kind of a Deshaun Foster target. And, you know, here we are a year and a half later and UCLA's getting the official visit. But the bigger thing is you posted last night the video that he posted getting from Troy Aikman. And it seemingly become very crystal clear that Brady Edmonds is a major target of UCLA. We maybe wouldn't have said that 10 days ago, 11 days ago when Dane Weber was still in play. But now it seems like that video alone, coming on the heels of Colton Nussmeier committing to Georgia, Dane Weber flipping to or choosing Cal, it seems very clear that it's Brady Edmonds 1.0 as their QB1 target.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting that the comments he both gave to myself and then Adam Gorney when he initially put out the story about his official visit experience, you know, he's very much torn now. I don't think you could have said that back at Elite 11 when he was very much I'm going to stay committed to Ohio State until, you know, they basically tell me otherwise type of thing. And one of the things he told Gorney was, you know, he just – The level of communication with Ohio State maybe wasn't what it used to be. And so that's what kind of also has him maybe opening his eyes a little bit more and seeing what UCLA had to offer. And based on everything that he said coming off the visit, you know, they pretty much hit all the marks. And I think they put themselves in a very good position that if he does end up making an announcement that he's going to decommit, you know, I think all signs would be clearly pointing to UCLA. And that Troy Aikman video was just really, it showed how much of a priority he is, but also it showed the relationship Bob Chesney is having, again, like what I've said before, with, you know, the past of UCLA football and getting somebody like Troy Aikman, who was kind of put off by NIL and that sort of thing in this era. Previously, when he mentioned an unnamed player, you know, didn't necessarily return a thank you note. And even then, I still even wonder how many of these guys that are in college and do get NIL checks, how many of them even know where the money's coming from. But, you know, to get somebody like Aikman on board, and this is now the second time he's kind of been involved with recruiting. There was a practice in April where it coincided with a quarterback charity function, and Aikman was able to, you know, kind of meet some of the recruits that were on that visit. But Yeah, you know, for Aikman to do that and to, you know, personally make it a personal message, you know, it's not something that everybody got on the visit. And I think that really resonated with Brady. And, you know, he mentioned how much it meant to him. It's funny because he even mentioned, you know, he almost, because he's so young and, you know, I always forget how fast time moves. He mentioned that he knows him more as a broadcaster than a quarterback, which, you know, when you get a little bit older, that's the case with some of these guys. But yeah, so I think at the very least, UCLA put themselves in a very strong position should anything change in Brady's status with Ohio State.
Speaking of Big Ten national champions in recent years, you had some big news last night in that Kane Brackney, who committed to UCLA in April, took his official visit over the weekend. He was recently offered by the Indiana Hoosiers, and it was after his commitment to UCLA. But you broke last night that he is planning an official visit to Indiana. Maybe tell the listeners, you know, is that a worrisome official visit? And just kind of the context of your conversation with Kane.
Yeah, I think it's both yes and no. It could potentially be worrisome. You know, we spent, I think I had him on the phone for about 11 and a half minutes. I think when I looked at the time of the call, and most of it was, you know, about UCLA and how much he enjoyed it. And there was only one concern he had going into the official visit that, Bob Chesney kind of answered for him. And I think he also told you the same thing that, you know, being from a small town, he just wondered how he'd fit into a big city like LA. And, you know, Chesney basically told him, you don't have to, you know, necessarily, you know, go out to Hollywood. You don't have to go out to the beach. You know, there are other parts of Southern California that can appeal to you and where you'd still feel comfortable. And so when I wrapped up our conversation, I said, you know, hey, you know, a lot of these guys have, you know, started to shut down their recruitment. What's the status with you? And he said, oh, well, I still have one more official visit scheduled, and that's Indiana. That's going to be coming up this weekend. And when I think back to his, you know, the one concern he had about being a small town kid, and then you think about Indiana in Bloomington out in the Midwest, you know, if there is potential for something to be shaken up in his recruitment, it might be that small town feel that Indiana might be able to give him. Now, that said, I still think things are pretty strong with UCLA because, you know, he enjoyed, you know, the Dodger Stadium experience. You got to meet Dave Roberts, his family, they're Dodger fans. And if anybody doesn't already know, Bixby, Oklahoma is only about, I think, less than 2 hours away from the Dodgers AAA affiliate that's in Oklahoma. So, you know, and Dave Roberts not only took time to talk to the recruits, but field questions from the parents that that chose to go on that tour. So I'd say, you know, things are very positive still with UCLA. But with Kane, he said he kind of wanted to at least hear out Indiana and just see what they had to say. So, you know, I'll probably try to connect base with him again the end of the weekend and see if anything changed in the status. Right now, I wouldn't say it's anything to be like, you know, DEFCON 5 type of worry, but I think it's at least it being Indiana and it being Kurt Cignetti, I think that at least is a little bit cause for, you know, just monitoring the situation a little bit.
Of course, as we all predicted back in 2023, Indiana being a threat to UCLA football when it comes to recruiting a linebacker from Oklahoma that is committed to the Bruins. Now, there were other commits that were on the visit this weekend. Kingston Salathe, who reaffirmed his commitment to the Bruins. You had, who else did we have visiting? Gage Esty from the Sacramento area. He was there on his official visit over the weekend, as well as Colton McKibben. Who really kind of got this momentum started with his commitment to the Bruins in late March. And that kind of triggered the next probably 5 weeks where it was commitment after commitment after commitment. And, you know, there was a picture that Kane Brackney posted and Colt McKibben both posted on their social medias of the two of those together. And, you know, got people a little bit excited about the potential that those two could play together. But McKibben, there's nothing to worry about with him. No other official visits have been set. However, there was a commitment that came for the weekend. This is the third visit weekend UCLA has hosted and the third visit weekend that they've had a commitment coming fresh out of, and that's out of Sacramento, Grant offensive tackle Thurman Lyles, who I know you caught up shortly after he got the official visit. Then I had a chance to talk with him on Monday morning prior to his commitment. Nice quality addition for UCLA, and obviously getting an offer from USC last week and then to get the UCLA visit plus the commitment certainly has to be something that UCLA coaches were pretty giddy about.
And the big thing with him, with as far as what kind of sold him on UCLA in the first place and made him want to take the official, was Chris Smith, the offensive line coach, and just the NFL background he has. For those who don't know, he spent 1 year as an assistant offensive line coach with the New York Giants. So, and Chris Smith is somebody who's, you know, whether it's someone like Lucas Roa or Thurman Lyles or, you know, whoever they're recruiting, he seems to have really resonated with these guys, and especially when development is almost always the top of the priority for a lot of these guys. For them to, you know, kind of end his recruitment really quickly. I think Washington State was the only other real threat there. So, UCLA kind of buttoned that one up pretty fast.
The visits that I think UCLA fans were probably most intrigued by was the late addition of Xavier Saab from Florida to the official visit list on Friday. However, that may have been, you know, some cold water thrown on that visit with Steve Wilfong predicting him to Oregon. Now, I think the reality is, you know, UCLA kind of came out of nowhere to even get the visit, let alone, you know, be in contention to land him. But you also broke that his teammate was on an official visit as well to UCLA over the weekend.
Yeah, he put up an Instagram post that, kind of just had people going to this profile that I hadn't seen before. And I look at it and it's, his name is Amon Martin, an offensive lineman from his high school in New Jersey, who also happened to be on the official visit. I'm still trying to touch base with him specifically and figure out where, you know, how genuine that interest is, because there's one train of thought that, you know, it could have been a case where Xavier kind of, you know, maybe told UCLA, hey, you know, my guy wants to maybe come along too. And I don't think they were going to turn that down, you know, with it being put together as hastily as it was. It's really hard to figure out where exactly, you know, that how exactly that all came about. So that may be something to monitor if I can, reach him. But like you mentioned, you know, Saab was kind of a long shot going in, and the fact that he's already been predicted to go elsewhere isn't, you know, not the biggest surprise. But when it comes to, you know, recruiting and relationships, it doesn't hurt to establish a relationship and have an extended weekend with a top recruit like Saab. And, with kids being at multiple schools before the end of their college careers, you never know if he ends up becoming a bounce back candidate down the road. So at the very least, it's a feather in the cap of the staff to at least convince them to take the visit and, you know, make their pitch to them and show them exactly what they have to offer them.
You know, you kind of touched on a good point. And this, I mean, you think about the success that Chip Kelly had early on when the portal was really taking off. It was a lesson learned after he kind of blew things with Brew McCoy, when Brew McCoy ultimately ended up signing, I want to say, with Tennessee before USC, Texas, the much traveled Brew McCoy, but kind of handled that, you know, disappointingly. So when Brew McCoy went into the portal, UCLA was never in play. Learned their lesson a year later when Zach Charbonnet picked Michigan. And, you know, you can make a case that Zach Charbonnet was the best offensive player that Chip Kelly coached at UCLA. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, his last 2 years, might be in that conversation as well. But I think they learned their lesson. I think nowadays, like you said, you know, you kind of put a pin on some of those visitors you bring in, because you never know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years. And if you might be back in the conversation with the player, if he does go into the portal. So certainly not terrible. I mean, I see everybody saying, oh, it's a free trip to LA. Well, dude, that's what friggin' official visit are, people. Sure. If you guys keep posting it's a free trip, it quite literally official visits are free. And basically nowadays unofficial visits are free. So for a lot of these guys, it's not just a free trip. I mean, could there be a possibility UCLA gets him? Sure. Did anybody think Jackson Roper was going to UCLA? No. And he did. Obviously, this is a much different situation with a five-star receiver from the East Coast, but by literal definition, official visits are free trips, people. So yes, when you post that it's a free trip, you're not saying anything breaking obvious news. But back to a receiver who UCLA is very significantly in play for, although probably a distant third right now, and that's Blake Wong, who I know you got to catch up with on Monday.
Yeah, both myself and Greg Biggins caught up with him. Greg's stories is already up on our front page. He posted it out there, I believe, right after he contacted him. My story will be coming a little bit later. So by the time this comes out, that may already be up. But, you know, he was another one who, you know, the fact that the staff, you know, when you think about how when they came up on board, you know, Chesney was hired in December. The staff was rounded out by January. And Blake was one of those guys they've kind of identified from the beginning, and they've been on, and, you know, they've made multiple visits out to see him, Colin Lockett and Dean Kennedy specifically. So he already kind of, you know, came into the visit knowing exactly what their plan was for him, and they just kind of reiterated, you know, you're going to be the guy if you end up at UCLA. And you know, they do have three receivers already committed, but they kind of let them know, like, hey, there's still a spot we're saving for you if you want to come here. So I think one of the bigger developments come out of it was just the time that his father got to spend with not just Bob Chesney, but the staff that has followed Bob Chesney to multiple stops now. One of the things his dad wanted to know was, you know, just exactly what it is about Chesney that that is kind of, you know, made him almost a magnet to not just recruits, but to coaches as well, to want to continue to follow him, and what it is about what they do that that has worked at previous stops. And everything, you know, Blake told me was, you know, his father was very pleased with everything he heard. But like you said, it's not going to be easy trying to pull him away. He's got, let's see, Ohio State, Oregon trips coming up, and those are the perceived leaders. He's basically said, you know, I'm not making a decision until I've taken all these visits. And I believe his decision is scheduled for June 27th, which would be the week after his final official, which would be to Ohio State. But he's also already taken a trip to Utah. And when he got back to both myself and Greg, he was actually in the middle of his official visit to BYU. And that's, you know, kind of how busy his schedule is right now. And that's a big kudos to him for, you know, taking the time to do that for us, because I know he's definitely been hit up by, you know, multiple reporters. Yeah, it feels maybe a little bit more wide open than it did maybe a month ago. But like you mentioned, I think Ohio State and Oregon may still have the edge here. That's just, you know, the feeling I get. But I think UCLA did themselves a favor and you know, really made a strong impression on his family, as Blake told me. And like I said, we'll have that story up that goes into a little bit more about what his family thought. But another really strong visit for UCLA. And now they're just waiting it out and seeing, you know, what he ends up deciding to do.
I think what's interesting too is you mentioned he was right on a visit to BYU, and we've seen kind of an alarmingly large, not alarmingly, actually, I think that's a bad word, a increasingly larger number of midweek visits, because I think with guys realizing now, I've got to make a decision. I can't drag this out till maybe June 18th. UCLA has taken this next weekend off from official visits, and they had, I think, a dozen at one point scheduled for the very last weekend of official visits. That's down to five now, and four of those are from commits, and one, Wilder Brasher, is the only uncommitted. Guys are making their decisions. We saw three of the players that were originally scheduled for visits that last weekend come off the board in the last 3 days, Prince Statton, Noah Gillespie, and Pat O'Brien. But I think guys still want to take those official visits just for certainty state. But they also know they don't necessarily have as much time to stretch it out as much as they thought. So we're seeing more and more midweek visits happening, so guys can get maybe that one more trip in next weekend. And it'll be fascinating to see, you know, if that visit weekend for UCLA on June 19th through 21st has anybody that is not committed on it. As right now, as it looks, it's Deuce Jones-Drew, Mike Davis, Khalil Terry, and Michael. And I feel like Khalil Terry was supposed to visit maybe earlier this month, and then it got pushed back. Then Kiko Farinas, and then, like I said, Wilder Brasher. But, you know, at no point last weekend did we anticipate that Xavier Saab was going to visit. But the other one that is a much, much more realistic player that we hadn't heard much buzz of recently, but he's also a commit, and yet another Southern California commit who is headed, you know, to another conference. That was Miles Baker from Sierra Canyon, who was committed to Cal. And, you know, once again, Tracy, the Cal-UCLA recruiting rivalry heating up a bit, and UCLA had Miles Baker on campus over the weekend.
Yeah, and I think he caught up. I think it was Greg who ended up reaching him, basically said that, you know, UCLA ended up exceeding his expectations. And again, that's kind of been the theme with a lot of these guys. You know, just the fact that the staff does, you know, connect so well with recruits and that sort of thing. And UCLA has been a school that Miles had been previously interested before the staff even came on board. I know Deshaun Foster wanted him pretty badly. And, you know, I remember Tom Lemming's annual photo shoot. He was actually at that photo shoot and took a visit that last spring. But things had kind of cooled off, and I hadn't heard a whole lot about UCLA up until, you know, they started to pick it back up in the within this last month and book them on that official visit. So, you know, but like you mentioned with Cal, you know, and Tosh Lupoi and his own recruiting chops, kind of steering that ship. It is very, very telling that, you know, a lot of kids are taking, you know, some of these California schools even more seriously now. And Adam Gordon actually did a story about that just recently, about how with comments from Tosh about how he's even been impressed by not just his own school's recruiting efforts, but, you know, UCLA, USC, Stanford, and what they've been able to do with locking down some of these kids from California. So, yeah, we'll have to see and see if the visit moved the needle enough for Miles to rethink his decision. But I think it also even underscores that first game of the season even more, right? You know, even though it is just one game and it is just a season opener and they're no longer conference rivals, you know, that UCLA-Cal game may open some eyes to recruits who chose one school or the other. And, you know, and it really, it'll really show what they were telling them in the on the recruiting side of things and being able to put it on the field. And so it'll be really, really fascinating to monitor just how much that game itself maybe changes some things before December arrives.
What will be interesting is how many players stay up late at night, although it is West Coast time. It's a 7:30 kickoff, as was recently announced, between UCLA and the Bears. Two other uncommitted recruits that UCLA had on campus this weekend that are both from Orange County, Lucas Roa from Orange Lutheran and Jackson Rex from San Clemente. You know, Tracy, what's been your read on them just in your communication with other rivals, recruiting guys, and those two players?
Yeah, so Lucas, like I mentioned before, he was someone I'd seen right as he was, you know, heading to his car on the parking lot with his family, and you know, we briefly touched base, and you know, the word he used was amazing, and it very much carried over into the recap that went up about his visit a couple days ago, and it's another one where UCLA's kind of been able to make a really strong impression on him in a short amount of time. I want to say he visited during spring camp in April, and that's when his eyes started to really open again. And for someone like Lucas, he was, you know, there was a while there that it almost looked like a foregone conclusion that he was going to end up at Penn State. And Penn State is still a school that he's considering, but because of the coaching staff change there and everything that kind of, you know, put everything, made everything a little bit more interesting in his recruitment, and wanted to take a closer look at some other programs. I believe Texas and Oregon are also in there, and Max Torres, who writes for the Oregon side on the Rivals Network, he contacted a source that mentioned that Texas and Oregon were probably the two schools that maybe had an inside track for Lucas. But I think UCLA was able to maybe close the gap a little bit there off this weekend, and it looks like he's strongly considering UCLA as well. It'll just be a matter of how the rest of his trips go. And then Jackson Rex is the other one. He's down to BYU and UCLA. The big tie there will be just seeing how strong the family pull with BYU is. He's had multiple family members that have attended the school. I believe he's got one that's still a running back there in his final year. But UCLA, even though Rivals lists him as a receiver, I believe schools have been recruiting him as a safety, and his relationship with the UCLA safeties coach Anthony DiMichele is really strong. He's someone I'm still waiting to hear back from to get his full thoughts on exactly how the visit itself went. But passing by him before he left, his family was all smiles. They took some time. They were on their way over to the Luskin Hotel that's right across from the UCLA practice facility, and they were still hanging out after their time with the staff had come to an end. So I think it's safe to say that it's another one that another visit that really made a strong impression on them, and we'll get the official recap up hopefully before the end of this week.
We touched on all the official visitors, as we mentioned. UCLA is taking this coming weekend off from hosting official visits, which is much appreciated. There will be, the potential. I'm not saying that there's going to be anybody that will just pop in, but there could be some unofficial visitors that stop by. Not unlike 2 weekends ago when Colton Nussmeier stopped by at UCLA. I guess that would have been last week, right after the Elite 11, because this weekend at Loyola Marymount University, the OT7 finals will be taking place. 8 7-on-7 teams from across the country will be playing in Los Angeles. There's also a little small sporting event on Friday, not too far from Loyola Marymount at SoFi Stadium, which, what a great weekend to be in Los Angeles and trying to find a hotel. I'll be out at OT7 covering that, and so 70,000 other people being in town. But there could be some unofficial visitors with guys that are in Los Angeles, maybe making the trip up the road. That's one thing that we have seen, that guys had maximized their time when out on the West Coast for 7-on-7 tournaments or 5-on-5 tournaments. We saw that when UCLA had their Elite Junior Day at the end of January. I want to say that was the weekend of the opening regional in Los Angeles. That's coming up later this month, the opening finals, where we will see Brady Edmonds next in action. But then that final weekend, June 19th to 21st, UCLA is set to host 5 official visitors, as we mentioned, 4 of the commits: Michael Farias, Deuce Jones-Drew, Mike Davis, and Khalil Terry, and then Wilder Brasher. But in looking towards the future, Tracy, you were at UCLA's camp on Sunday. A couple of players with already holding UCLA offers were there. A couple of players that UCLA ended up offering. What were your thoughts and just kind of some of the things that you had seen when you were at UCLA on Sunday?
Yeah, one, I wanted to get just a look at the organization of the camp. Because like I said, I'd seen it in past years. And the one thing that really stuck out was just the fact that they didn't divide the campers by class. Before, they'd have an hour or a 90-minute session with, say, a 2027 group, and then they'd move on to, another class, and they'd stagger the camp that way. Here, they basically, right as soon as their official visitors were leaving, they were hitting the practice field, and they had all the campers out there. Then they got underway somewhere around 11 a.m., something like that. So, and seeing them just work with such a large group, I don't have the official number of how many were there, but it was quite a strong, healthy number. And just seeing it, how, the staff basically ran it like a UCLA practice. They gave them a really authentic camp experience that mimicked a lot of what they do to the for the current players and prepare them. And You know, whether it was someone who was a major target for them or someone who just maybe walked up and registered, they were giving some really ample coaching and one-on-one time with guys. You know, there was a defensive back that had, you know, not turned his head quite when he should have. And Richard Rogers, who's the assistant head coach to Bob Chesney, kind of pulled the kid aside for, you know, 5-6 minutes and, you know, coached him up. So like I said, and the feedback I got from, you know, because I was watching with all the parents who were watching their kids go through the camp, and a lot of people seemed to be impressed with how they ran things. And then some of the people that stood out, you know, at the very end of the camp, there were about 9 kids that they kind of brought to the front of the group and mentioned, you know, they had standout performances, and based on social media posts, they were officially declared MVPs of their position groups. Jordan Kirkpatrick was one of them. He's a 2028 defensive back at Corona Centennial. And he told me right after the camp that UCLA was already high on his list, and he's got a couple other notable programs going after him. But, you know, UCLA is already in a very strong position with him. There was an undersized defensive lineman. I forget which school he's at, but Siave Seti, another
Bishop of Mont,
29. You know, not the tallest kid, but you know, looking at his clips from the camp, you know, really plays with a motor, and it was that relentlessness that he showed that really impressed the UCLA staff. They have not offered, but you know, he's definitely looking forward to seeing how that relationship evolves. I imagine, you know, as his sophomore year comes up, I believe he was in first team All Mission League, All CIF performer. So, you know, he's someone who's not only impressed at that camp alone, but is someone who's proven it on film, and is kind of already made a name for himself as a young guy in the Southern California area. There was a quarterback, Long Beach Poly, Trevor Scott, who was also singled out. There was actually 2 quarterbacks. Another one was a 2030 quarterback, meaning, you know, he has not yet officially entered high school. And he'll actually be a future teammate of Brady Edmonds. I'm trying to remember his name right now.
So Brooks Furman. We saw him. He was there watching Brady Edmonds at the Elite 11.
Yeah. Brooks, I want to say, is his first name.
Furman, yeah. From Edison High School, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, still trying to also figure out who else was singled out in that group, because as I'm watching up there, you know, I don't have a roster. That I'm just going based off of, you know, the color of their jersey and the number that they've that was on it, and, you know, kind of piecing things together through social media and that sort of thing. But, yeah, it was just a really one, good to see. Who exactly might still, you know, might be coming up on their radar in future classes, but also just to see how the camp was going to be run from previous staffs. And, you know, things look, you know, really bright as far as, you know, how they run these things and the impression that these camps can make on recruits and their families.
One of the things about this month and what January has become, you know, Rivals has July 1st set up to be kind of the big summer commitment announcement day. And, you know, again, if you're an old school guy like myself who remembers when the first Wednesday of February was essentially a national holiday, to now where July 1st is the first Wednesday of July, and it's kind of the unofficial day, and they still have, for a lot of those guys, 6 months before they even move on to campus, 5.5 months till they move on to campus, the calendar sped up. And, you know, it's fascinating. You go to camps, and I don't know if you're like me, but when you get into June and you go to a camp and you look down, if you do have a roster and you see a kid's 2027, he's camping at a big camp, that usually doesn't portend well for their future. Back in the old days, if you were going into your senior year and you were told to go to a camp going into your senior year, there was a good chance that that offer could come at that visit. Now it's almost too late. And instead, the camps are largely focused on 28s, 29s, and as you said, a 2030 getting his offer. So that, again, speaks to the ever-expedited recruiting calendar that we're now operating under in college football. But it also makes for great content, because, you know, you could spend July and August kind of focusing, all right, who are the 28s and 29s that, you know, you're expecting UCLA to really focus on this fall? Where are they going to be going to games when the season starts? Who will be the guests at their games at the Rose Bowl in August or in September and October and November? So I know, folks, there's a lot of people say, oh, he's a 28. Why should I care? He's a 29. Why should I care? Well, you know, the coaches care. And for several years, UCLA fans bitched and moaned, especially on Bro. Well, you know, recruiting is so boring. And now we have people complaining that we're writing about 28s and 29s and 2030s. Yes, those guys are probably going to decommit and commit elsewhere 14 times. Yes, those guys may end up in the portal. But you literally spent almost a decade complaining that there wasn't relevant recruiting news, and now it's coming. And the only place it's coming, guys, is on Bruin Report Online. How about that for a little segue, JC? Go to Bruin Report Online to get all of your recruiting intel coverage from Tracy, from Greg, from Adam Gordon, from myself. David Woods has done the last couple of weeks Bruin Buzzes. I mean, I know how much Dave loves covering recruiting, and it's been evident in his Bruin Buzzes, but plenty coming along still, at least for the month of June, because while UCLA does not have official visitors this weekend, there will be some of their key targets that they're still in play for on the road. So keep track of that before we wind down this 2027 cycle's heavy lifting in the spring on the weekend of June 19th through June 21st. We will be back next week breaking down any new news on commits elsewhere if UCLA continues to add to their 2027 class and previewing that final weekend. But you can read all the recruiting intel you could possibly want over on Bruin Report Online. For Tracy McDaniel, I'm Brandon Huffman. Thanks for listening.